Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Now, let me say something about infrastructure. It seems to me that infrastructure spending is a very important and good way of stimulating the economy. The challenge will be to do it quickly, to find projects that can be done that have a high social return that also can be done with the greatest speed possible. I am concerned, as I'm sure many of you are, that these jobs not simply go to high-skilled people who are already professionals or to white male construction workers.
Bob, my younger son, Cannon, he is 8. And he now says that he would like to be black. I'm not kidding. There's a lot of advantages to being black. Black is in.
Marxist millionaire, the Lilliputian Robert Wright, wants to make sure that the stimulus money does not go to white males. White males need not apply. Larry King, being the chameleon lunatic that he has always been, is proud to say his son wants to be black. Now, this is amazing what's going on in the country. Now, couple that with the fact that Obama has broken the bank with executive orders. He's issued 5 executive orders in his first 3 days in office. Now, I want to ask you, what if a conservative had come to office and had issued 5 executive orders in the first 3 days in office? Tell me what the vermin in the media would be saying today. Tell me what the empty skirts in the media would be saying today. Tell me what the empty suits in the media would be saying today. Tell me what the department store dummies in the media would be saying today if a conservative had passed 5 executive orders in the first 3 days of his tenure. Now, let's compare it so you have a comparison. How many executive orders did GW pass in his first 3 days? 0. Clinton, 1. George H.W. Bush, 0. Ronald Reagan, 0. Jimmy Carter, 1. Gerald Ford, 0. But Obama, the Marxist college professor, is now ruling by decree, bypassing Congress, bypassing the people, and saying, you know what, I'm now king, and I'm going to pass everything through executive order. One of these orders closed the terrorist prison at Guantanamo Bay. Another of his orders prohibited waterboarding of terrorists. Does Obama represent a new era or a new era? This is the Savage Nation. Would you like to comment on Robert Reich, the racist red diaper doper baby? You may recall him. He was the Lilliputian, the red diaper doper baby Lilliputian, Robert Reich. Is the man who you may remember whose feet never touched the ground on talk shows. A large head and a minuscule body. Now, I don't care that that he looks a certain way, but he is a mental Lilliputian. He was Clinton's Secretary of Labor from 93 to 97. His Harridan wife earned her degree from Harvard Law School, if you may remember any of this, but I do. And then she stabbed Harvard in the back by suing Harvard for gender discrimination in 1993 because they would not give her tenure right off the bat. Remember who this Robert Reich is. He's a professor at the University of California at Berkeley. This is the same cretin who tried to become governor of Massachusetts running on a same-sex marriage platform. And what is his philosophy outside of his blatant racism and hatred for the Christian white male? He was quoted by the New York Times as saying, I don't believe in the redistribution of wealth for the sake of redistributing wealth, but I am concerned about how we can afford to pay for what we as a nation need to do. He is a stone-hearted Marxist socialist, and now he's speaking to Congress, making sure that white males need not apply. What Reich proposes is government-endorsed racism, a refusal to hire people on the basis of their skin color. Of course, he tried to correct himself later in the interview with, I think it was Rangel, by saying he had nothing against white construction workers. But make no mistake about it. Make no mistake about it. White liberal racist college professors are a huge part of this Obama administration. And unless they are stopped, they will take you backwards into the era of Jim Crow and the white man will have a ring in his nose. I stand by those words. Robert Reich has got to go. He's a hateful, disgusting little man, and he has shown his hatred for the white Christian male by saying, make sure the money doesn't go to just white male construction workers. Does that bother you? Does that concern you at all that we have a president who is now acting like a little petty dictator, passing executive orders one after the other? It should bother you, because we have a slew of socialist, Marxist, lawyer professors now running America. Let me repeat that. We have a slew of socialist, Marxist, lawyer professors who have now taken over and are running America. These socialist, Marxist, lawyer professors will follow their belief systems no matter the cost to the average citizen. Terrorist attacks, no problem, so long as terrorists get justice. You see how it goes? Their doxy is more important than the survival of America as you know it. And the statements of Robert Reich typify what is coming in this country. When Robert Reich says he wants to make sure that the stimulus money doesn't go to, quote, just white male construction workers, what do you think he was trying to say? What do you think Robert Reich is saying in doing this? He's saying he's a stone-hearted hater of the Christian white male. And he has always been this way. He has never changed his spots. What amazes me about these Lilliputians is that they've been laying in the woodwork like cockroaches, waiting for the right moment to come back out of the woodwork. This Lilliputian, Robert Reich, moves from one university to another, disseminating his hate for the Christian white male and for America itself, in my opinion, and waits for the right time to come crawling out of the floorboards. Michael in New York, you're the first up on the Savage Nation. I know you won't be the last. The phone number here is 1-800-449-8255. The website has these and other articles that you must read. Obama's executive orders, 5 in 3 days. If you'd like to talk about the closing of the terrorist prison at Guantanamo Bay and granting terrorists who would cut your daughter's throat and throw you down a well and giving them justice, you can call me at 1-800-449-8255. New York, WOR. Michael, go ahead, please.
Yeah, Michael, what Robert Reich said is absolutely positively disgusting. It's nauseating. But the reason he's able to do this, the reason this is happening, is because of the stupidity and ignorance of Obama, which is, I hate to say this, being fueled by my fellow conservatives. Now, the reason I say that is very simply because Obama wants to create 600,000 jobs, which there really won't be enough jobs for the amount of unemployed people. But if they were to bring the jobs back from China, stop trade with China.
No, you're getting off the track. I don't know what you're talking about. Now we're in China now.
No, here's what I'm trying to say. There would be no need to say racism because you would bring back 15 million jobs, and there would be more than enough jobs.
Well, we know all of that, but what do you think about an advisor to Obama saying money shouldn't go to construction white male construction workers? That's the issue, Michael.
But the point that I'm making is why?
Why is he not forced to resign? What if a conservative administration had won, let's say John McCain, who wasn't a conservative, but for argument's sake, and he appointed an advisor in the economic times that we're in who says, we got to make sure that the money, the stimulus money we're going to pass, does not go to black construction workers. Tell me what would happen today.
I said it's absolutely disgusting.
What if he said that the money should not go to black construction workers? I want to know what would happen today. Tell me how long he'd be in office.
Would hang him, but here's what I'm saying.
Thank you. I'll be right back.
Savage.
I am concerned, as I'm sure many of you are, that these jobs not simply go to high-skilled people who are already professionals or to white male construction workers.
Bob, my younger son, Cannon, he is 8. And he now says that he would like to be black. I'm not kidding. There's a lot of advantages to being black. Black is in.
Well, I guess black is in if the money's going to go only to black people, which is what the fetid little man Robert Reich would like. The fetid little man Robert Reich, the Lilliputian, the Marxist millionaire, says that he wants to make sure that the money is targeted so that it doesn't go to, quote, just white male construction workers. It got worse, by the way. The fetid little man Robert Reich, the Marxist college professor who was advising Obama, said the rest. He said, here, there are ways in which the money can be, criteria can be set so the money does go to others, the long-term unemployed, minorities, women, close quote, he said. Representative Charlie Rangel, the tax dodger, who, by the way, has not yet been punished for his tax dodging, appeared to agree, suggesting federal money be directed to specific groups of people. Charlie Rangel said, quote, the federal government must remove the discretion about where the funds go or what projects would be involved, even to the point of eliminating any input from governors or state legislatures. Should be given a choice of signing on the bottom line or not. Did you hear this? Do you understand what this is? They are demanding central control, federal control. I don't think you understand this is the model that the ex-Soviet Union ran on, the Politburo model, where there were no individual rights nor state rights. There was only a central control. That is what Obama stands for. That's why I say, when I've told you for months now, that Obama is a Marxist by all of his past speeches and policies. He is surrounding himself by people who are naked Marxists. Eliminate states' rights, eliminate constitutional protections, and make sure that the money is disseminated only by the federal government and only to the people that they want to get it. Now, I want to ask you something. I'll ask it again. Five executive orders in the first 3 days. A Marxist millionaire Lilliputian, Robert Reich, saying that the money should not go to white male construction workers. Larry King, the chameleon lying. That chameleon, Larry King, laughing and saying his son wants to be black. Which, by the way, unto itself is disturbing that he would share that with his audience as though it's joyful. Something's wrong with a man whose son wants to change race and whose father thinks it's funny. I mean, I got to lay it on the line. Something's wrong. If your kid came home and said, I'm ashamed to be what I am and I want to be another race, you'd have to say to him, what did I do wrong that my child is identifying with someone other than his own race? What did I do wrong? What's wrong with me that I raised my child to not want to be what he is? That goes for you whether you're black and your son is ashamed to be black and says he would rather be white. Or if you're Jewish and your son says, I don't want to be Jewish, I want to be Christian. Or if you're an Asian and you come home and your son says, I wish I was a white man. It means you didn't raise your son properly. But for a shameless suit like Larry King to boast about the fact that his son would like to be white and not understanding what he's saying is indicative of why we are in this trouble right now. 1-800-449-8255 is the phone number. San Francisco's Kaney W. Michael, welcome to the program. What's on your mind?
Michael, I just want to tell you, every time I hear that clip that you play, it makes my blood boil. I listen to you out of Atlanta on the internet. And the area of Georgia that I live in, south of Atlanta, was a thriving area for construction, residential home construction. For the last 20 years, that's how I've made my living as a building superintendent. And all of a sudden, the government puts regulations on the banking industry, making them give loans to every Tom, Dick, and Harry in town without verifying anything about them. And that's what's crushed this industry. And now they've had the...
I understand. And making sure that illegal aliens got loans, that minorities got loans that they couldn't afford. In other words, they destroyed the banking system and the housing market. And now they want to bail out the very people who were never entitled to a mortgage. You know, mortgages are a privilege in France to this day. It's very complicated to get a mortgage in a country like France because it's a fiscally conservative nation. We, under George Bush, have become a fiscally socialist nation. I said it first a year ago, but I want to go back to the statement by Robert Reich saying the money should not go to white male construction workers. Should I not play that clip? Am I the problem or is he the problem?
Michael, he is absolutely the problem. It's not you.
Because I'm telling you as I stand here that I'm going to be called the problem for playing that clip. And that's what's coming in America today. Anytime somebody does the job that the media is supposed to do, which is to be the watchdog for the American people and catch the government boll weevils in action, they're going to be accused of being enemies of the state. We are entering a very dangerous age. I am a national treasure. Michael Savage, make no mistake about it, is a national treasure. Make no mistake about it. Robert Reich should be fired. If Obama had a way. San Diego John, you're next up. Go ahead, please. You're on the Savage Nation. Comment, please.
Mike, I'm a bridge builder out here in San Diego, and when I heard that, I had to do a double take. When it comes to doing the heavy lifting, it's like it doesn't matter if you're black or white. It's like I couldn't believe what I was hearing. And today they're voting on a right to work bill in Congress about, you know, anyone could come in and do a job. It's like, well, let the free market, you know.
Well, what do you mean? What do you mean anyone could come in and do a job?
Well, it's a right to work law. Basically, Utah tried it for about 10 years, and it has to do with prevailing wage. And what happens is anyone can come in and bring their crew in from anywhere, and work for any wage, and it destroys.
So you're saying, as a right-to-work state, a team of illegal aliens can be brought in and undercut union workers?
Oh yeah, NAFTA. That's what NAFTA is all about. I could bring in my homeboys from Juarez, Mexico, and bid on a job, and I don't even have to get bonding on some of these jobs, and that's the biggest deal.
So Robert Reich wants to make sure that there are no jobs in the construction industries to white male. The few that are left should be thrown out altogether.
Northridge and the big earthquake hit. Hey,
here's what I want to stay on. I want everyone to hear it. This is Robert Reich, the Lilliputian, the Marxist millionaire from UC Berkeley, appointed by Barack Hussein Obama. Listen to him.
I am concerned, as I'm sure many of you are, that these jobs not simply go to high-skilled people who are already professionals or to white male construction workers.
I rest my case. Should Reich be fired?
Savage.
I am concerned, as I'm sure many of you are, that these jobs not simply go to high-skilled people who are already professionals or to white male construction workers.
Now, this is a man, I don't know if you remember him, he was always a disgrace, even back in the days when he worked for Clinton. He provoked disgracehood in the government. He was a man who was born with a physical anomaly, and I think he hates healthy white Christian males, to the extent that he has a pathology towards them. For him to say a thing like this and not understand the ramifications thereof indicates he's not equipped to work for the federal government. Now, the question is, will Obama recognize that Reich has to go? The bigger issue today is the Gitmo diaspora. Obama signed an executive order that's going to close the terrorist prison camp at Guantanamo Bay, Cuba. And now the 245 terrorists who are being held there are going to go free one way or another. 245 time bombs of hatred, of murder, and of death are about to be released onto the world. And how long will it be until their hatred blooms? Now, Obama, the Marxist professor, said he did this in the interest of human rights. But what about the rights of those humans whose children will be maimed by the bombs these terrorists make once they're released? What about the rights of those humans who will be going to work in the morning or coming home in the evening somewhere on Earth whose last experience on this planet will be the blinding flash of death touched off by one of these men that Obama released? What about the rights of humans who are enslaved like female cattle under Sharia law because these psychopathic 7th century rejects have been set free? What about those human rights, Mr. President? Executive order releasing them from Guantanamo. That sounds good on paper. And what do you think is going to happen when they're released? How many of those released from Guantanamo have gone back to plying their trade of hate? Is the number 70 or 60? There are other executive orders. That is that no waterboarding. Now, I'd like to know how you break a man who is so hardened that he has no soul left. That's if he ever had one at birth, and I'm not sure that these people are humans. I suspect that people who do these things are not human beings. I suspect they are the biblical golem that we read about. That is beings in human form without human souls. How do you break a golem? How do you break a person of this nature that is almost impermeable to any kind of interrogation tactic, except the most severe kind? This is, again, pinheaded or egg-headed, whatever you want to call it, college professors running America. They feel good about eliminating waterboarding, but they have no idea how to break them. So in other words, if you get a man who knows where the nuclear bomb is hidden that's about to go off, if let's say we take the worst-case scenario. Remember the show 24 when it was still good? When they were pointing out the terrorist enemy for who they are, the Islamo-fascists, until they were roundly stopped from doing so by the liberal mad dogs? Do you remember that scene where a rogue nuke was about to be set off and they had a guy and they were going to torture him, but they were afraid to torture him because they were going to violate the law? How would you like that situation? Who would you turn to get the information? Tell me who you turn to. Robert Reich, who would sit there and talk to him over a glass of seltzer? And say, you know, I gave you human rights. You're a nice guy. I understand your grievances. So you'll tell me where the bomb is? If you do, you know what? I'll have you over for dinner. My wife makes a nice dish. That's going to break them, huh, right? You moron, you. You little moron, you. You ought to crawl back into the woodwork. You're nothing but a cockroach, Reich. You go from Berkeley to Harvard with your friends who give you one job after another. But you don't fool me at all, Robert Reich, because I saw what you did when you were Labor Secretary under Bill Clinton. Shortly thereafter, your lovely wife, sued Harvard University because they didn't give her tenure right away. Remember that, Reich? You little man of the people, huh? You fraud, you. You fraud, you. What a country we're living in that a cockroach like this can get away with that. Albany, New York. Kevin, you're on the Savage Nation.
Thank you, Michael. The first part of that Reich clip is what really got me, more so than just not hiring whites. It's not just to professional, high-skilled people. Do you really want low-skilled people building your bridges, your roads, your buildings?
Yes.
It doesn't make sense.
What he's saying is he wants the money to go to incompetence.
Right. And
in other words, the lower down the scale of competence, the more money should go to that level. Illegal alien, no experience in building, good. Minorities, no experience building, even better. Anyone with experience need not apply. You know, this is what Mao Zedong did in China, where they took the surgeons. I don't know many people don't understand what this is. This is Mao, a Maoist form of economics. You know, you hear Marxists have just become part of the people think they know what they're talking about. But this is not actually Marxist. This is Maoist. Chairman Mao took the surgeons out of the surgery wards in China after the Communist Revolution. He said they were counter-revolutionaries because they were educated. And he took laundresses out of the laundries of the hospital, and he put them into the surgery wards, and he said, sister, you will now be a surgeon. Unskilled laundresses were told to perform surgery. The surgeons were put into the laundries of the hospital. If the little sister from the laundry said, but I don't know how to perform surgery, they were either arrested or shot for being counter-revolutionaries. Robert Reich is espousing a Maoist form of economics. He got away with it because of the Lilliputians in the media who are not even reporting on this. Again, I want to reverse it so you understand where we are. Let us make believe that today, January 22, is a day that a conservative had won the election. Not that we had one running, but let's say we had a real conservative running. And the white male conservative had appointed someone to his economic council who comes up and says, I want to make sure that the jobs not go to black male construction workers. I want to know how long he'd be in office. Okay, think about it. Brendan in New York on WOR. Go ahead, please.
Yes, how you doing, Michael? I'm calling regarding, you know, where the President Obama's support lies. He was willing
Brendan, are you there? We're losing you. Are you there or we lost you?
I am here, Michael. Can you hear me?
Well, make your point quickly.
Yes. All I can say is that President Obama does endorse union construction workers. I'm a steam fitter in New York City, and he was going to...
Wait a minute. Hold on. Robert Reich just said he wants to make sure that the $1 trillion not go to white male construction workers. How much clearer does that have to be?
Well, he was willing to appoint my general president of steam fitters, pipe fitters, and plumbers of America and Canada as his secretary of labor. But he chose not to take the position because he's a newly elected president to our international.
I know, but that's kind of pie in the sky. That's esoteric information that you're giving me. Here is economic advisor to Obama named Robert Reich, who says to a congressional panel that he wants to eliminate white male construction workers from the economic stimulus benefits. Doesn't that worry you?
Yes, it does. I know you had told me. I spoke to you once before, Mike. You told me you had a family member as a steam fighter, correct?
Well, irrelevant what I had. It's not that I care about the job. I'm not a steam fitter. I'm not a white male construction worker. But the danger here is to eliminate a class of people based on their race. That is a violation of federal law, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely. There's no right to discriminate. You're a union construction worker no matter what color you are.
All right. That should worry you whether you voted for this man or not.
What worries me is what this other gentleman spoke of, is what's referred to as these coalitions that are made up of mostly, perhaps, black people. And as a steam fitter in my union, I have black people, white people, Spanish people, and we're all union brothers, and we all get along. We don't disseminate between each
other. Yeah, but I want to ask you something. You all got along during the 8 Bush years, as flawed as Bush was as a president. There was almost no racial enmity in this country. It's true that Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson and a few other race mongers tried to stir up racial hatred, but they got nowhere. This country has been at relative peace racially for the last 8 years. I have seen and heard nothing but issues of race since this man became president.
Well, it's not fair.
From the day the man has become president, from Reverend Lowry attacking white people to this little cretin saying white males need not apply, this is all about race, and we're supposed to look the other way? To me, the king has no clothes. Period. End of story. Tom in Florida, you're up on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Mike. Kind of heard the comments about Robert Reich, and I guess my big shock as a corporate attorney is how surprised everybody is. This is prevalent. It's absolutely prevalent throughout corporate America right now.
Wait, what is prevalent?
Every request for proposal that comes across my desk from a publicly traded company includes minority spend, minority content, what's your diversity program. This is just touching on it. This is his comment.
Oh, yes, I'm aware of the fact that we've entered a Marxist America. I know that. I live with it. I know that the government is extremely racist. I know that. And I understand that they try to exclude white males from virtually every aspect of government, contracting and government jobs. But to hear an economic advisor saying that the new money, the $800 billion or trillion, whatever they're going to put out in this construction area, not go to white males is kind of alarming, don't you think?
I think it's just touching on the tip of the problem. I think that when major companies in this country have to do a certain amount of business with minority companies, excluding white companies, to get certain benefits from my tax money, that we have a serious problem in our country.
Well, you're right. That's a systemic problem of racism in this country. We understand that, aimed at the least represented segment of our society, which is the unconnected, poor white male, in this case, the white male construction worker. He is being targeted by this man, Robert Reich, this disgusting creep, this cockroach. And I'm saying he needs to be fired. We, the people, need to stand up and have this man fired. We need to make a ruckus about this, because otherwise, if we let things like this go unchallenged, it's going to get much worse.
But what I'm saying,
in other words, if a Lilliputian like Robert Reich can get away with this in the third day of Obama's presidency, tell me what might be going on in the third year of Obama's presidency if we don't stand up to this racist diatribe. Thanks for the call. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Well, am absolutely honored and thrilled beyond words to be here with you as our nation's 67th Secretary of State. And I believe with all of my heart that this is a new era for America.
I am concerned, as I'm sure many of you are, that these jobs not simply go to high-skilled people who are already professionals or to white male construction workers.
Well, it is a new era for America. White males need not apply. You get how it works? Oh, yes. And if you think that things are bad now, shutting Guantanamo prison, saying you can't use any severe techniques to get information out of the most hardened criminals on planet Earth, you are right. But, ladies and gentlemen, you've seen nothing yet. We have a group of egghead, socialist, Marxist, Maoist professors, most of whom are lawyers, which makes things even worse, who are now running America. And they're running it as though they are at a college campus and they are simply having an academic discussion as to how to run America. They don't care about the ramifications. What matters is that they feel good with each other about their ideas and their protocols. So there it is. Hillary Clinton about a new era. I would say it is a new era, not a new era, making her Secretary of State when her family has benefited directly from her tenure as a senator, notably her husband. But we have no Republican Party. We have no opposition. There is no two-party system left in America. It was fundamentally destroyed by George Bush. And so we're in for quite a ride. We're in for quite a ride here on the Savage Nation, everywhere else. Here's another story directly related. Freed Gitmo prisoner sues U.S. for unlawful detention. Saeed Muhammad Iqbal is now suing the U.S. government for unlawful detention. So the very same slime ball cockroaches from NYU and Columbia Law and every other hellhole with a law school that worked to free these people who would cut their throats and blow their family up are now going to sue the U.S. government. This is going to be fun to watch. This is going to be fun to watch. If you think what Bush and Paulson have done to America is bad, you're right. But it's nothing compared to what Obama and his academics are going to do to this country. And we have to just watch. We have to watch it all go down the hill. Is this the best that black America could have produced? On him being black, but he made such an issue of being black at the inauguration and Reverend Lowry with his diatribe against whites that they thought was just cute, that we have to constantly remember that Barack Obama's race is very important. You know, I think that there would have been better candidates who are black. You understand that? But let's not go there. He's the president right now, and he's already shown that he doesn't care about the Constitution. He has already shown that he's going to rule by decree, that he can care less about the people and the Constitution, because he has flooded America with 5 executive orders in his first 3 days. You know, you should make a note of this. 5 executive orders in the first 3 days of office. Bush, no executive orders in the first 3 days. Clinton 1, G.H.W. Bush 0, Ronald Reagan 0, Jimmy Carter 1, and Gerald Ford 0. Isn't that interesting? That the conservatives up there, the Republicans up there, did not issue any executive orders in the first few days of office. And here we have an interesting barometer. Bill Clinton issued 1. Jimmy Carter issued 1. Obama issued 5. This is just the beginning, my folks. My good folks out there. You're watching the beginning of the Marxist takeover of America. Only it's being done right before your eyes and you don't even realize it. You don't even see it. I mean, the people don't see it because the mainstream or midstream media is not even talking about this in context. They're in on it with him. They're in on it with him. I am a national treasure because I am a dissident in the United States of America. Michael Savage is dissent. I am dissent. My name is dissent. Call me dissident. If you remember Moby Dick, remember the Moby Dick by Melville, call me Ishmael. From now on, I may ask you not to say hello, Michael, but just say hello, dissident. Let's try that for the rest of the week. Say hello, dissident. I am dissident. I am a national treasure. Without me, this man could get away with anything. Without the few people left in talk radio and on the internet, we could be living in a total dictatorship. It could happen virtually in weeks. If Obama has the guts to pass 5 executive orders in 3 days, and no one says a word about it, that means tomorrow he can pass 10 executive orders. And tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow he can do whatever he'd like with the American people. Is that what you want? You want a dictatorship? Because that's what you're going to have unless you respect the people you detest politically. Unless you learn to respect the people you detest politically, the true dissidents in America are me. I am the dissenter. I am dissident, not you. You are establishment. The code stinkers, the communists, the professors on the left, you are the establishment. I am the dissident. I represent dissent, not you. You should respect my dissent if you respect America. And you're going to find out very soon, ladies and gentlemen, who were duped by the machine, that Barack Hussein Obama is not a very good person. You're going to find out that he smiles a lot, but that he may be a very dangerous person. You'll find it out very soon by the number of executive orders that this man passes. You understand or don't you understand? Mississippi Fred, quickly, go on. You're on the Savage Nation.
Hello, dissident.
Hello, how are you? Go ahead,
hello,
please.
Dr. Dissident.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, this is Fred Bowen from Mississippi. My comment was, I'm black. I didn't vote for Obama. I am the fifth generation of builders in my family, third generation of construction workers.
Mm-hmm.
And it appears over the last 10 years or so that the illegal alien problem has eroded both black and white.
That's correct. How many years have I been saying that the people who are being affected the most by the flood of illegal alien laborers are the poor black people? I've said it for 5 years now.
Get it. And I don't understand. I've watched in California where unless you're Mexican, you can't do drywall.
Well, there you go. That's right. That's right. That's right. I'm glad someone called
Savage.
Dr. Dissident.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
By the authority vested in me as president by the Constitution and the laws of the United States of America, in order to effect the appropriate disposition of individuals currently detained by the Department of Defense at Guantanamo, and promptly to close the detention facility at Guantanamo consistent with the national security and foreign policy interests of the United States and the interests of justice, I hereby order. And we then provide the process whereby Guantanamo will be closed no later than 1 year from now.
Bob, my younger son, Cannon, he is 8. And he now says that he would like to be black. I'm not kidding. There's a lot of advantages to being black as in.
I am concerned, as I'm sure many of you are, that these jobs not simply go to high-skilled people who are already professionals or to white male construction workers.
Welcome to the terrible, terrible news, but you're living in a mini dictatorship run by Maoists, Marxists, Leninists, and other assorted dirtbags from the university's refuse pile who have crawled back out of the floorboards. If you think that executive orders are the way to run a nation, then you belong in the ex-Soviet Union. You belong in communist China under Mao Zedong. But if you don't understand what I'm saying to you, you better get up to speed. You better get up to speed. Here you have a Marxist millionaire named Robert Reich. He was the racist red diaper dope baby cretin who worked for Bill Clinton as Secretary of Labor. He was the man who his feet never touched the ground on talk shows. He has a very large head and a very small body and an even smaller brain proportionate to his head. He had a harridan wife who earned her degree from Harvard Law School and then stabbed Harvard in the back by immediately suing Harvard for gender discrimination because they did not make her a tenured professor immediately. This is the kind of deal you're working with here. This is the man now who is saying white males need not apply. This is the liberal Lilliputian Robert Reich. So there, the signals are out there. White males need not apply. Terrorists should have equal rights to non-terrorists. And I, Michael Savage, have a job. My job is to point out what I believe to be the truth without regard to whether or not I'll get a guest the next day. I am America's best friend. I am an American national treasure. Call me Dr. Dissident. The phone number here is 1-800-449-8255. Dr. Dissident will take your calls now. New York City on WOR. Sergio, welcome to the program.
Yes, good evening, Mr. Dissident, Dr. Dissident. I'm special honored. My first was I missed to call you Dissident. Now I feel very special because I'm the first to call you Dr. Dissident. Listen, I'm a white male construction worker from New York City, and I'm boiled. My blood is boiling once, not once, but twice. First with white male construction workers, and second with a comment from someone who's before you, Brandon, a steam fitter from New York. I'm a steam fitter, Mr. Savage. In 1970, I went to apprenticeship school for 5 years. I'm a certified nuclear X-ray welder. From 1976 to 1981, I worked in the nuclear power industry. The nuclear power industry has 6,000 construction workers. I don't know if they were white male construction workers. No, they were not. We built this nation, and then with Three Mile Island, it stopped. All right. Now, why this Brendan and turned around and said, well, you know what? We got to back Obama. Brendan should have turned around and said, we've got to back McCain. Do you know what one nuclear power plant does for every?
Well, let's focus on you as a skilled worker. Robert Reich, the Lilliputian, not only attacked white male construction workers, but he also said he wanted to make sure that the money doesn't go to high-skilled people who are already professionals. Is he suggesting that a jobs that you, such as you have and a skill such as you have can easily be turned over to an illegal alien from Mexico? They should be the ones doing welding in nuclear power plants and on nuclear submarines because their skin color is the right color? Is that what this Lilliputian is saying?
Well, let me respond to that, Michael. Every couple of months over here, we see all kinds of accidents in New York City. People are killed. People are dying. It's because the non-union and the illegals are getting in there, and they're getting themselves killed.
Are you talking about the crane accidents, the highly visible crane accidents in New York, for example?
I'm talking about 4- and 5- and 6-story buildings where they're where undermining and their walls are collapsing on them and all kinds of inferior stuff like that. That's what I'm talking about.
I hear you. I understand what it is to be a craftsman as opposed to simply a laborer, and that's what you're talking about. But apparently you have the wrong skin color because under the new Obama regime, they're going to target the money to make sure it doesn't go to you.
Mr. Savage, it does go to us already. There are so much set-asides in every single program that's out there. There is 30% that has to go to minority bidding. There's 5% that has to go women. Ask Brendan what the qualification for the apprenticeship is, and they're going to find out that it's
30%. I understand that. There are already set-asides for minority contractors. I understand that. So why would Robert Reich, the Marxist millionaire, the Lilliputian, the red diaper doper baby, say that he wants to make sure that the money doesn't go to white male construction workers? Does that mean that the 70% of the money should not go to them at all? Is that what he's getting at? A man who has never used his hands for anything in his life other than signing decrees that condemn people to horrible existences? Look, I better stop right here, Sergio, because unless I point out what I think to be the right thing and the wrong thing in this country, we're going to be going right down the road of the Soviet Union. And I don't care how many worshippers of Obama are listening to me and are angry. I hope you're angry. I hope you're furious at what you've done to this country, that you've elected this this creature, this college professor who you turned into God. And within 3 days, your college professor passed 5 executive orders. Now, what if he passed another executive order tomorrow that said all dissent in radio in the form of conservative talk radio, you wouldn't call it dissent, all conservative radio is hereby by executive order eliminated because it creates social disturbance. You'd go along with it, wouldn't you, you little Nazi goose steppers, you. You rats, you. I know who you are. I've known who you are all my life. I know who the left wing is. They're dangerous vermin. So we're in for it. Call me Dr. Dissident. I am a national treasure. Make no mistake about it. It is not the gay who is the dissident. They are the establishment. It is not the lesbian who is the dissident under Obama. They are the establishment. Make no mistake about it. It is not the illegal alien who is the dissident. They are now in power. Make no mistake about it. It is I, Michael Savage, who is the dissident. I am the dissident. Call me Dr. Dissident. I am dissent. I'll be right back. Savage. Back to Dr. Dissident. Call me Dissent. 1-800-449-8255. Let's go to San Francisco. KNEW, the greatest station on the West Coast. Sean, welcome to the program.
Yes, Dr. Dissident, Professor Savage, you are not just a national treasure, but you're a treasure to all free-minded humanity, sir.
No, I hope that's true, because we're going to be in for quite a series of challenges coming from these crypto-Marxists running this country.
You're absolutely right, sir. I've taken as an American citizen refuge from Iran for 30 years and haven't been able to go back, and for them to make peace at this time with this with that regime is incomprehensible. And at the same time, I wanted to say one thing. You are the last man standing, because what you said is very much right. If based on the social distortion, giving executive orders like they're hot candies in the store. You understand what I'm saying, Professor?
Look, executive orders are supposed to be used as a last measure, not as a first measure. Yet Obama has flooded this country in the third day with 5 executive orders, which is unprecedented in modern history. And yet no one in the newspaper business has said a word, because they want a dictatorship.
That's absolutely right, sir. That's absolutely right.
Now, you called, it says here, Obama's too focused on race. Did you care to discuss that?
Yes, ever since he's taken oath, not himself directly, but his extensions have taken voice and taken their grudges out. And instead of promoting unity by ignoring different races, whether it's Asian American, which has been highlighted as yellow, the mellow, and so forth, they're basically taking a hatchet to unity.
I agree with you that George Bush, despite his flaws during the tenure of those 8 years, race relations were at an all-time high. In the first few days of the Obama administration, there has been nothing but racist rhetoric coming from the highest office. One day after another, one administration official after another, one preacher after another, are throwing racially charged statements down from the high from Mount Olympus. Now, you know, you have to ask yourself, why is Obama so obsessed with race? I'll give you a simple answer: because he got to where he is by using his multiracial background. You know, Barry Obama went to an exclusive white and rich Hawaiian high school called Ponuho. You know that, don't you, Sean?
Yes, I do.
I don't know how many people understand he was not an oppressed minority. He never was. His white grandparents made sure he had the best of everything. They sacrificed for him. And he went to Ponuho High School. It was only when he moved to Chicago that he discovered being black could be an asset for him. And he started to identify with that side of his heritage by attending Reverend Wright's sermons, so to speak, and identifying with the radical policies of Louis Farrakhan. That is when he found out the power of race in America. So since this racial issue has worked so well for him to make him the president, why would he stop now? Why would he stop suddenly when this is what he has used to get where he is? I ask myself. The answer is he won't stop. If you think this is an anomaly or these statements are anomalous, you're mistaken. This is the center. This is the core. This is the dais of the banquet that Obama is about to deliver to you. Okay, you want to talk about any of these? You can. I'd like to know where the people are in this country who are so concerned about executive orders in the past. Where are they? Obama floods 5 in 3 days. George Bush, 0. Clinton, 1. George H.W., 0. Ronald Reagan, 0. Jimmy Carter, 1. Gerald Ford, 0. Conservatives didn't use executive orders the first 3 days. Maybe they didn't like the policies that they inherited, but they went slowly. They said, let's use the legislative process. Let's use the process of democracy. Let's see what the American people really want rather than what I want to force upon them. But not Obama. Obama is showing every sign of being a dictator. And we, the American people, must dissent, or I'm warning you. I'm warning you that power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. And if Obama's absolute power is not challenged from day one, you're going to have a dictatorship in this country. Without even knowing it, you're going to be living in a dictatorship. It's going to happen to you, and you won't even know it happened to you. I have to be the one saying it to you? Dr. Dissident has to be the one saying it to you? I guess so. Now you know why they want to stop talk radio. Well, okay, we can talk. Here are some other headlines that I culled for you today. Some are on michaelsavage.com. Jacques Chirac, the former French president, was bitten by his pet depressive pet dog, a poodle named Sumo. Was violently bitten by his white Maltese poodle. Amazing. The pet was a gift to the former first French couple from their grandson Martin. His beloved dog has been having frenetic fits of late, which it jumps into the air and turns aggressive, and the dog was being treated with antidepressants. It's not clear where Mr. Chirac was bitten, but he went to the hospital. Did anyone notice the National Prayer Service Wednesday? The type of leaders, faith leaders that Obama had? The type of extreme left-wing faith leaders that were invited to the White House? Did anyone notice this? I noticed it. He was invited. He invited V. Gene Robinson, the first openly homosexual Episcopal bishop. This is unbelievable to me. You're watching a revolution going on in America. And not all revolutions end well. Not all revolutions end well. Most revolutions end very badly. America could have done much better than this green president. As I said 6 months ago, Barack Obama is not too black, he's too green. That's what I said. You can take that to the bank. He is not too black, he is too green. Here's another article, Tijuana off limits to U.S. Marines. Did you hear this? For tens of thousands of U.S. Marines in Southern California, new orders from the brass amount to this. Baghdad Sea, Tijuana No. A wave of violence and murder in Mexico. The commanding officer of the 1st Marine Expeditionary Force based at Camp Pendleton has made the popular R&R destinations of Tijuana and nearby beaches off limits for his Marines. Why? Murder. The drug gangs have taken over Tijuana. And if you think it's limited to Tijuana, you are mistaken. You would think the president would have noted the threat to the national stability being posed by the flood of drugs and illegal aliens in America. But instead he targeted the upright citizens who had the guts to interrogate these vermin at Guantanamo, the men who were trained to stare down the face of hell itself, who had the guts to go there and interrogate these subhumans. And who did Obama attack within his first 3 days with an executive order? Not the cartels that threatened to take over the entire Northern Hemisphere with their poisons, but the brave men who had the guts to stare down the vermin, the subhumans at Guantanamo. You're living through a revolution. It's very dangerous. Tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow will be worse and worse and worse. Make no mistake about it. The only thing Obama needs to do to gain total and absolute power and to bamboozle all the people all of the time is to shut down talk radio. The newspapers are finished. The television networks are owned. There's only one voice of dissent left. It's in talk radio.
Savage.
By the authority vested in me by the Constitution and the laws of the United States of America, in order to improve the effectiveness of human intelligence gathering and to promote the safe, lawful, and humane treatment of individuals in United States custody and of United States personnel who are detained in armed conflicts, and to ensure compliance with the treaty obligations of the United States, including the Geneva Convention, and to take care that the laws of the United States are faithfully executed, I issue this following executive order that effectively ensures that anybody detained by the United States for now is going to be any interrogations taking place are going to have to abide by the Army Field Manual.
I don't think you understand. This man is so over his head that he doesn't know what he's doing. The king has no clothes. This is a college professor. This is a leftist college professor. This is a Marxist, leftist, Leninist college professor playing at being president, saying, I feel good signing these executive orders, and now we're not going to interrogate them harshly. We're going to do it nicely. So I put out a challenge to my liberal listeners, and I ask you, there are reports, credible reports, that a dirty nuclear bomb has been planted within 100 yards of your house or your apartment building or your office. The government is racing to find out where it is, and they have an Islamo-fascist in custody who they've been interrogating nicely under the Obama regime, the nice way. And I don't know what that would be, but the nice way. How would you get the information from that individual, or would you rather die? Would you rather see your daughter's school go up in smoke than violate his non-constitutional rights? Because make no mistake about it, these Islamo-fascists who are caught plotting to hurt us have no constitutional rights. They are not United States citizens. Do I have to reiterate to you that the Curran decision was passed originally during the regime of Franklin Delano Roosevelt, a far-left Democrat president, and the Curran decision said that Nazis, who were sent over here to do this country harm, to commit sabotage by submarine in that case, who were captured, by the way, off the coast of Long Island, when their submarine came ashore, they were released in rubber boats, they came ashore, and they were soon caught. They were not afforded constitutional protections by then-President Roosevelt's Justice Department. The Curran decision stated that they are to be tried as prisoners of war. That's what they said. And that's the basis upon which the Bush administration, those are the principles upon which the Bush administration followed their interrogation tactics, and have kept us safe since 9/11/2001. Make no mistake about it, despite his flaws, despite his grave errors as president, despite his having bankrupted this country with his obsessions and his foolishness, George Bush kept his country safe since 9/11/2001. And I'm sure part of the reason is because when they caught a guy who wanted to harm us, they got guys with the guts to stare down hell itself, to interrogate them with whatever it took to find out what they were going to do next. I'm sure as I stand here that that's what's been done over these last years to keep you safe in your lily white law offices. I'm sure as I stand here, that's why you were able to go to Harvard and run around like you were running the world. It was because of men 5,000 times braver than you who had the guts to stare down hell itself. That's the reason you had safety. Now, if you're telling me that these Marxist communist professors know what they're doing, I would disagree with you. How in the world would you get the information from them? I'm asking you. We have an open microphone to the Savage Nation. I see the country becoming a communist nation in this administration unless we stop Obama now. Unless we speak out, the 47 million of us who voted against this communist professor, unless we say no to his dictatorial tendencies, unless we say no to his executive orders right away, he is going to use absolute power on a daily basis, whether it is visible or invisible, whether it is by himself or by one of his minions. Unless we speak out forcefully, we have lost America. It will be over, not in 50 years, not in 40 years, not in 20 years, but in less than 2 years. New York City, WOR. Fran, go ahead, please.
Dr. Dissent.
Yes, go ahead, quickly.
Dr. Dissent, I agree with you totally, and I feel your frustration. This communistic attitude that we're starting to see is nothing new. This has been going on for years and years and years.
Wait, hold on. It's been going on for years and years in the media and in the universities. It has not been going on for years in the office of the president. We now have an inexperienced, blank slate, left-wing college professor named Barack Hussein Obama who is indicating that he wants to lead us right down the road of a Cuban-style revolution.
You're correct, and I agree with you. And the sad thing is...
What do you think, I'm blind? I don't see where this man is leading us, where he's dragging us, where he's forcing us, because the people in the press are complicit in this?
You're correct. You're correct, and I feel your frustration because I've been...
I don't have frustration. I have rage. Don't confuse rage with frustration. I'm not a chick.
Well, frustration is not good. Is good.
I'm not frustrated at all. I'm enraged. I'm enraged that the leprechaun has rolled over. I'm enraged that the golfer has rolled over. I'm enraged that the false conservatives in the Republican Party have disappeared. I'm enraged that there's only five or six people left in America daring to say the king has no clothes and he's leading us into a Cuban-style revolution and he's using dictatorial processes to demand and to cajole and to reshape America virtually overnight. This is not the mark of a man who wants to have a democracy. This is a man who wants to have a revolution on the order of Fidel Castro.
The kids, right?
I can't converse. I'm sorry. I cannot converse. I'll take a call now. Austin, Texas. Ken, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hi, Dr. Dissident. I found it ironic that I was in a place where I saw a TV show or television on the wall. I couldn't hear the sound. Obama said we were going to be a moral leader in the world, was the subheader. And
Hold on. What, you mean we're not a moral leader right now? You mean Sharia law is moral?
Well, of course.
You mean beating your wife if she won't have sex with you according to Sharia law? Is moral? That's what he. That's his idea of morality?
Well, I don't know what his idea of morality is. I know what mine is. And
there is no greater moral nation on earth than this one. No nation on earth has taken in so many immigrants in so short a time and given them so many benefits than this nation. This is the most moral nation in the history of the world. Make no mistake about it. It's only these spoiled, rotten college professors who hate this country. Who hate this country!
Was that I read today that he had snubbed the pro-life movement today who had 200,000 or 300,000 people on the mall. And what is more moral than saving babies? And he refused to talk to them or obviously support them in any way, which is not surprising, but that was ironic.
Well, I understand where you're coming from, but did you expect anything different from a Marxist college professor? This is Dr. Dissident, Michael Savage. Call me Dissent. 1-800-449-8255 is the phone number. MichaelSavage.com is the website where I have many of these stories. I'm afraid that he could get away with a revolution and the people wouldn't even know what happened. I believe the people in this country are so moronic and are so clueless as to what freedom actually means that it is only the dissidents from the other countries who came here, whether it be from the Eastern European bloc 20 years ago or from Iran 20 years ago or 10 years ago. It is only the dissidents who I have met who understand the danger we are in. The Asians I've met who lived in Cambodia under the Pol Pot regime. It is only the dissidents who understand what we have become and what we're losing and that we are no longer a free people and that we have truly elected a Marxist college professor. I want to remind you that the world has seen what Marxist idealism has done before. In Cambodia, there was a Marxist professor. There was a professor named Pol Pot. Nice man, small man, had a nice family, and he was very polite. He never yelled. He went to Paris, and he studied Marxism. He came back to Cambodia and he introduced Marxism to Cambodia. Within a short period of time, he unleashed a revolution on the Cambodian people in the form of the Khmer Rouge, 13, 14-year-old gangsters who wore red bandanas. I guess they were his national security force with AK-47s. He unleashed a Khmer Rouge upon the Cambodian people. They arrested anybody with eyeglasses as being counter-revolutionary. All the teachers, all the social workers, all the engineers, all the doctors, all the lawyers, anyone who could read or write was arrested and put into slave labor camps. That is the country that saw a mountain of human skulls, 2 million skulls high, and was unleashed by a mild-mannered college professor named Pol Pot. I'll be right back.
Savage.
By the authority vested in me as president by the Constitution and the laws of the United States of America, in order to effect the appropriate disposition of individuals currently detained by the Department of Defense at Guantanamo, and promptly to close the detention facility at Guantanamo consistent with the national security and foreign policy interests of the United States and the interests of justice, I hereby order. And we then provide the process whereby Guantanamo will be closed no later than 1 year from now.
Then we have the Obama advisor, the Marxist millionaire, Lilliputian Robert Rice, saying don't give jobs to white workers. And if you think I'm making it up, I'd like to play that right now. Would you play that, please, the white worker comment?
I am concerned, as I'm sure many of you are, that these jobs not simply go to high-skilled people who are already professionals or to white male construction workers?
Well, this is sort of a mini Pol Pot. First target the high-skilled workers and the white males. You don't see what's coming. You say, well, I'm exaggerating. I'm being an alarmist. You could say anything you want. The handwriting is on the wall. You think things happen overnight? They don't. They happen by degree. And they happen by decree. Right now we have both degrees and decrees that are leading us into a totalitarian state. I see it. Do you see it? Am I the only one in America who's saying it in the media? Well, if I am, I'm in real trouble. If I'm the only one seeing it and saying it, then I'm going to be in real trouble real soon. We keep hearing that George Bush took away our rights. I knew they were lying. Was there any greater critic of George Bush in radio than Michael Savage? I was an independent from the day I began in radio. I was his most vocal critic from the year 2000. They never arrested me. The Bush administration never harassed me. They never tried to take talk radio off the air. Don't you understand it was all a big lie by these psychopathic, lying Marxist professors like Robert Reich? Don't you understand who they really are? When are you people going to wake up to the danger you're in? Of course you'll wake up when it's too late. They're leading us into a Cuban-style revolution. Bloodless, without a shot being fired. That's how Fabian socialists operate. I try to explain to you what Fabian socialism is many times over the last year. Today, of course, the parlance is Marxist this, Marxist that, and most people don't even know what it means. And I'm not here to give you a lecture on Marxist didactics, nor upon the economic system that Obama is trying to usher into America. I'm not going to tell you about it because I think you pretty much know what it is. And I think you pretty much know who the target is. I think you pretty much know that the white male who has no connections is going to be targeted on a daily basis by this administration. They're going to get it from every side. One way or another, the white male is going to be targeted as the designated victim in America to attack. You understand this? Okay, let's go on. Gitmo closing. I challenge liberals listening to the show to tell me how they would interrogate radical Islamists, hardened criminals without souls, who may know where a dirty weapon is hidden, and you have 5 minutes to find it. Thus far, not one of the red diaper dopa babies who listen to this show on a regular basis has called the show, either because they know I'm right and there is no other way but severe ways, or because they are afraid to call the show because they understand that the danger we are in is a result of their own naivete. You understand this? Kansas City, Kevin, you're on the Savage Nation.
Dr. Dissident,
I'm
going to be one of them left alone with you. I'm reaching this point where I look around at the world and I cannot believe what I see, how much of it, and they truly believe it.
Mm-hmm.
I think they have no idea what's going on, and I kind of see the world with different glasses, meaning I'm the type of person who, when I was a kid in 79, I was in the 8th or 9th grade, when other kids were doing whatever, I was too, but we were also paying attention to the Soviets going into Afghanistan. And in 89, when they were talking about moving out, I was in the Marines in Thailand, looking for people that they're looking for now. It is just, I understand that I have a different perspective, but I can't see how the rest of the people don't see this.
Well, it's a product of the media and the schools who have turned the children into victims. When you have a few people who are insane running the media, power mad, insane people, who on their websites talk about national politics and then mix up some empty-skirted slut in Hollywood lifting up a skirt, showing a tongue, kissing a girlfriend or whatever. Every day on a daily basis, you turn on Yahoo News or you click onto one of the other news sites, AOL, and you get brainwashing against America, brainwashing in favor of homosexual marriage, brainwashing in favor of the kind of lifestyle that dogs used to engage in if they were mad dogs. What do you think is going to happen to people, children particularly, if they go on a computer and every day they click onto AOL Mail or Yahoo or one of those other sites, and every day they're brainwashed with every click? Tell me what happens after 10 or 15 years of this.
Well, we're seeing it. I went to...
Yeah, what we're seeing is a president who has no qualifications to be president other than hype. Where he projected hope, I saw hype. Did you hear him read today the executive order that he signed? He stumbled over the words. He didn't even... He paid no attention to them as though they were meaningless. I want you to play the beginning of clip 21 again. Listen to this.
By the authority vested in me as president, president by the Constitution and the laws of the United States of America.
You notice he stumbled over this again because he doesn't take it seriously. This is all rhetoric to him. What he's saying is, I am now the supreme ruler of the land. I promised the lawyers, the left-wing red diaper dopa baby lawyers who put me in office, that I would do this for them. He's going to pass an executive order as sure as I'm standing here, ending Don't Ask, Don't Tell, destroying the integrity of the U.S. military. That will be done to pay back the billionaire homosexuals from Hollywood who were the first in with money. I told you this over a year ago. I told you that I knew personally from people in Hollywood what was going on. I told you it was the homosexual billionaires in Hollywood who were first in with money to Obama, which is why the homosexuals wanted him elected and why the lesbians did not want him elected. The lesbians backed Hillary. I don't think you understand the division within the homosexual community. But that's a topic for when he passes Don't Ask, Don't Tell, which, of course, I affectionately am calling Do Ask, Do Tell, My Dear, because it will destroy the military as sure as I'm standing here. We'll have a military equal to that of Argentina when he gets through with us. That's coming very, very shortly. It's very interesting. Five executive orders in the third day, and not a word about it in the mainstream media. Why is it that Larry King would boast that his son wants to be black and think that that's not a sign of something wrong in his upbringing? Not that there's anything wrong with another race, but there's something wrong with a child not wanting to be the race that he is. But Larry King is such a comedian and otherwise, let us say, lowlife as a human being, a man without a soul, a man without a country, that he would think it's cute. Listen to clip 20. Think about this.
Bob, my younger son, Cannon, he is 8. And he now says that he would like to be black. I'm not kidding. There's a lot of advantages to being black as in.
Larry, you are the biggest disgrace in the history of the human race that I've ever seen in the media. I've never seen anything like this man. He doesn't even understand what he just said. I don't understand it. What if you're a black man and you're raising a child and he says to you, Dad, you know, I wish I could be white. What would you say to him? What if you're an Asian person and your son says, God, I wish I wasn't an Asian. I wish I were a white man. What would you say to your son? You'd say, good, and you'd laugh. That's what you say, Larry? Larry, you lost it a long time ago, but now you've gone below the ken of humanity. You've become a sub-media person. This is the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Here's what I've been talking about in the Savage Nation. One is the astonishing flood of executive orders by the liberal President Obama. It's unprecedented in modern history. Obama's issued five of them in his first 3 days in office. Now, you have to ask, how many had his predecessors issued in their first 3 days? George Bush, zero. Bill Clinton, one. George H.W. Bush, zero. Ronald Reagan, zero. Jimmy Carter, one. Gerald Ford, zero. Yet this would-be dictator has already flooded five executive orders. One of these orders closed a terrorist prison at Guantanamo Bay. Another of his orders prohibited waterboarding of terrorists. Do you think Obama represents a new era or a new era? Opening the floodgates, should the terrorists be able to sue the U.S. government once they're released from Guantanamo? Hey, let's hear it for the boys from NYU. Do you think Obama's made it more likely or less likely that a second 9/11 will occur by closing Gitmo? Then we talked about the Marxist millionaire, the mental midget Robert Reich. Robert Reich proclaimed before Congress that he didn't want to see stimulus money just go to white male construction workers.
Now, let me say something about infrastructure. It seems to me that infrastructure spending is a very important and good way of stimulating the economy. The challenge will be to do it quickly, to find projects that can be done that have a high social return that also can be done with the greatest speed possible. I am concerned, as I'm sure many of you are, that these jobs not simply go to high-skilled people who are already professionals or to white male construction workers.
He's nothing more than a red diaper doper baby con man racist who should be fired immediately for being a race hater. Robert Reich, foo on you. Okay, moving on. Now that the inauguration celebration of the chosen one is over, it's time to see exactly what promises, if any, will be followed through. Jeff Kuhner was in Washington for all of this, and here he is to give us his firsthand report on this fiasco.
Thanks, Michael. This is Jeff Kuhner at the Washington Times with his weekly special report to the Savage Nation. This week, Michael, I want to talk about the inauguration. It has now come through town. The parties are now over. People are no longer dancing at the balls. And now the serious work of governing begins. What I found most troubling, Michael, is throughout the entire lead-up to the inauguration was the utter hubris and arrogance of Barack Obama. This is a man who took the train ride from Philadelphia through Delaware to Baltimore, approaching Washington, D.C., a route that was taken by Abraham Lincoln. And Obama has been explicitly modeling now his presidency on Abraham Lincoln. And what I find most disturbing, Michael, is that Abraham Lincoln, after George Washington, is probably one of our greatest presidents. This was a man who not only freed the slaves, but he basically ended Southern secessionism, he restored this country, and he led us through the crucible of war and disunion. This was a man who oversaw America in the bloodiest time in its entire history. Most people don't know this, but more Americans died during the Civil War than all of the other wars that America has been in combined. That's Vietnam, that's Iraq, that's World War II, that's World War I, that's the Revolutionary War. This is the kind of leader that Abraham Lincoln was, that despite the hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dead, despite the world urging the United States to allow the South to secede, especially Britain and France, Lincoln said no. And he held on to his dream of one nation, one people, united under God. And for now, Barack Obama to come into Washington with no other accomplishment except he has just won the presidency. He has not done anything so far. He hasn't passed a major piece of legislation. He hasn't won a war. He has not literally done anything for the United States. For him to put his hand on Lincoln's Bible, for him to say he is now taking on the mantle of Lincoln, is to me the utter height of arrogance and hubris. And further, Michael, one of the things that I found most disturbing was when the inauguration was taking place, this city was descended upon by Obama maniacs. There were about 2 million people screaming, wailing, crying at the National Mall and across this city when Barack Obama delivered his inaugural speech. This, to me, was not an inaugural speech the way Americans know it. This was, to me, a kind of political rally that you would see someplace in Nazi Germany or in one of these Marxist banana republics. What you saw on Tuesday, January 20th, were the shock troops for a political revolution. Obama is now coming into this city with a massive Democratic majority, and he is now demanding transformative change. And these people were there cheering him on every step of the way. But what I found to me most dismaying is that when I talk to people on the streets, when I ask them, well, what was it about his inaugural speech that made you cry, that made you weep, that literally made you euphoric with joy? What they said to me was stuff like this. I believe that God is speaking through him. I believe that he is the one. I believe that he is the one that will now heal this nation.
Oh my God.
In other words, they are looking at this man as a new Messiah. As the second, literally the second coming of Jesus Christ, a political Messiah who somehow in our age of Oprah Winfrey will bring about closure and healing in America. And my question to them is a simple one. What will this man heal? What will this man close? In other words, what is so fundamentally wrong with America that somehow we need a new Messiah? And here's the point I want to say to all the Obama supporters out there. We don't need a political messiah. Nazi Germany had one, and we saw what happened with that.
Exactly.
The Soviet Union had one, and we saw what happened with that. And yet, right before our very eyes, posters of Obama everywhere, scarves with Obama's name and picture everywhere, hats of Obama, buttons of Obama, cookies named after Obama, videos of Obama, T-shirts, sweaters, jackets with his picture all over the place. It was the cult of personality. It was like the dear leader in some Marxist banana republic. This is no longer the America that I recognize. And I have news for these Obama supporters. They are in for a rude awakening because the biggest lie of all was that Obama promised, quote, in his inaugural speech, a new era of responsibility. And my question to Obama and to all of his supporters is this. What responsibility? This is a man who is on the record as saying he supports at least an $800 billion stimulus package, more likely a $1 trillion or $1.2 or $1.4 trillion stimulus package. And to run $1 trillion stimulus packages this year and next year, we will be running deficits for years to come. Deficits that will bury us in a mountain of debt. Where is the responsibility to the taxpayer? Where is the responsibility to future generations? This is a man who claims a new era of responsibility, yet he now calls for us to snatch defeat from the jaws of victory in Iraq. He wants us to precipitously withdraw from Iraq right when we are on the verge of winning. Where is the responsibility to our military? This is the man who claims that he wants a new era of responsibility, but he promises nationalized health care, so we no longer have responsibility over our own health insurance, but the government will take care of that for us. Where is the responsibility when he says he now wants amnesty for illegal immigrants and a path to legal status? Where is the responsibility for protecting our borders and our national sovereignty? Mm-hmm. I could literally go on and on and on. This is a man who is peddling snake oil and socialism. And just as with John F. Kennedy and just as with FDR, there is a fawning, sycophantic media corps that is cheering him on every step of the way.
True.
And Michael, let me be very candid with you. For the first time in my life, I was ashamed of the United States. When I saw in the lead up throughout the campaign how they lied about Barack Obama's past, how they downplayed his connections to Reverend Wright, how they downplayed his ties to Bill Ayers, how they downplayed his ties to a slumlord and a convicted criminal like Tony Resco, how they are now deliberately not pursuing people in his administration, such as Chief of Staff Rahm Emanuel, for his potential ties to Blagogate and the whole scandal regarding Illinois Governor Rod Blagojevich and the selling of a Senate seat, how they have given this man a pass on issue after issue after issue to get one of their own in the White House. To me, it was an absolute disgrace and a travesty against American democracy. And now we are to believe that this man is to be our savior. Well, I have news for these liberals. John F. Kennedy brought us Vietnam. FDR never got us out of the Great Depression. And in fact, his policies of appeasement directly emboldened Adolf Hitler and led to 50 million dead in Europe. And then later he sold Eastern Europe to Stalin and gave us the Cold War. What Barack Obama is going to give us is this: a bankrupt country, a country that now will look like socialist Europe, anemic economic growth, high unemployment, a nationalized healthcare system, meaning rationed care. He will give us amnesty for illegal immigrants. He will give abortion on demand. He will pass the Freedom of Choice Act. And the final dagger, he will push for the open recognition of gays in the military.
Oh my God.
And Michael, my big fear is this: what Obama and the liberals in this city refuse to understand is that now we are facing the greatest threat since the 1930s. We are now facing a potential nuclear holocaust in the Middle East with Iran bent on getting a bomb.
Exactly.
We now know that Al-Qaeda is gathering steam in Pakistan. Europe has essentially surrendered in the fight against Islamic terrorism. The Saudis continue to fund madrasas around the world. And what is Barack Obama's answer? We need to make more alliances and more friends. He is wrong. That was the path pursued by FDR. That was the path pursued by Neville Chamberlain in the 1930s, and it led to disaster. And we are now sleepwalking into disaster. And the biggest disaster is that Barack Obama will pull our troops out of Iraq too early. He will then transfer them to Afghanistan. And in Afghanistan, the Mujahideen are waiting for us. That is the graveyard of empires. That is where the Russian Red Army was destroyed in the 1980s. It was where the British Empire was defeated in the 19th century. And they are waiting now to send American body bags back home. And when thousands and thousands of American body bags come back home from Afghanistan, my question to Barack Obama and to Chris Matthews on MSNBC and Keith Olbermann and CNN and the New York Times and the Washington Post is this: will you cut and run as you want to cut and run in Iraq? Will you reduce America to a paper tiger? Will you allow the Taliban and Al-Qaeda to gloat in their victory against the United States? Because that is exactly what is going to happen. John Kennedy gave us Vietnam. Barack Obama's Vietnam will be Afghanistan. Because he does not have the strength, he does not have the character, and he does not have the temperament to win a war against Islamic terrorism. And so my big fear, Michael, is that now that the party is over, now that the drunken reverie is now done and people get back to the serious business of governing, is this man capable to be president of the United States? And I am sorry to say this, but I honestly believe, with God as my witness, that he is not. And we shall pay the price for at least the next 2 years. And hopefully by 2010, the Republicans and the conservatives will stand up, take back control of Congress, and hopefully stop Barack Obama and his liberal missionaries from wreaking havoc on American soil. I'm Jeff Kooner at the Washington Times with his weekly special report for the Savage Nation. Back to you, Michael.
Thanks, Jeff. We can only hope that we're wrong about this. This is the Savage Nation.
Savage.
By the authority vested in me as president by the Constitution and the laws of the United States of America, in order to effect the appropriate disposition of individuals currently detained by the Department of Defense at Guantanamo, and promptly to close the detention facility at Guantanamo consistent with the national security and foreign policy interests of the United States and the interests of justice, I hereby order. And we then provide the process whereby Guantanamo will be closed no later than 1 year from now.
Obama has signed an order that will close the terrorist prison at Guantanamo Bay, and now the 245 terrorists who are being held there are going to go free one way or another. 245 seeds of hate, murder, and death are about to be released onto the world stage. How long will it be until their hatred blooms? Obama claimed that this was in the interest of human rights.
In order to improve the effectiveness of human intelligence gathering and to promote the safe, lawful, and humane treatment of individuals in United States custody and of United States personnel who are detained in armed conflicts, and to ensure compliance with the treaty obligations of the United States, including the Geneva Convention.
What about the rights of those humans whose children will be maimed by the bombs these terrorists make once they're released? What about the rights of those human beings who will be going to work in the morning or coming home in the evening somewhere in the world, whose last experience on this earth will be the blinding flash of death, touched off by one of these mad Islamic psychos? What about the rights of humans who are enslaved like female cattle under Sharia law because these psychos, 7th century rejects, have been set free? What about those human rights, Mr. President Obama? And this is only the first week of his presidency. If this is the first thing he has done, what worse is there yet to come? I'll tell you what's worse. Obama has signed another order that prohibits threats, coercion, physical abuse, and waterboarding while interrogating detainees. He has eliminated the only means we have of getting information from these mad people. He is making criminals of the men who are trying to protect their country. He is trying to play an honorable game with creatures for whom no honor exists, and he is doing a dangerous disservice to the country by following his liberal protocols of insanity. At the same time, the CIA is being forced to shut down its secret network of prisons. It's not just the 245 at Gitmo. There are believed to be as many as 100 prisoners throughout the rest of the world who are so dangerous and will now have to be let go. And just today, a terrorist who was freed from Guantanamo Bay is suing the U.S. government. Obama appears to be opening us up to legal terrorism as well, from his lawyer friends. Remember, Obama is a lawyer, first, last, and always. Obama's flub of the oath of office was not an auspicious start to his presidency. His first executive orders are not an auspicious start for the next 4 years in America or for the world itself. This is the Savage Nation. Bernie Madoff scandal brings up many questions. How could he have gotten away with this for so long? Where were the government regulators? How could people trust this man with their life savings? Lawrence Lamer is a best-selling author and joins us again today to talk about his new book, Madness Under the Royal Palms, which looks into the mindset of the Palm Beach socialites that Madoff was able to con. Lawrence Lamer, welcome back to the Savage Nation.
Hi, Michael. My buddy Antonio, who runs the dry cleaner that I always go to, never misses you, so he's going to be listening. I want to say hello to him and say I'm a fan, too.
Give us a little background on your new book.
I came to Palm Beach for the first time in 1991, and it was the strangest place I'd ever seen in my life. I've lived all over the world, but it was so exotic and it's so intimidating. I had the feeling that I wasn't wanted. Outsiders aren't wanted. There's a public beach, but there's no bathrooms. There's no place to get anything to eat. Everything's behind hedges. And I thought, if I could come here and live here and find out what's inside those hedges, I'll have quite a book.
What did you find about the Palm Beachers?
Well, I found these various worlds. First of all, I found a Christian world and a Jewish world totally apart from each other, had nothing to do with each other. I'd never seen anything like that. I saw a society that is based, it thinks it's based on culture and class, but it's based on nothing but money, and it's based on how much money you have. That's where you stand.
Well, what's the Madoff connection?
Well, Bernie Madoff is a perfect product of Palm Beach. He came here in 1994, purchased his house on the north end. He's Jewish. He may have been the first Jewish resident of that part of town. He joined the Palm Beach Country Club in 1996. Now, there's something called the Stockholm Syndrome. If you're a prisoner, you identify with your captors, or if you're abused, you identify with your abuser. In Palm Beach, Jews were not allowed in the two major clubs, the Everglades and the Bath and Tennis. So they replicated in their club, the Palm Beach Country Club, in many ways the worst for the WASP world. I mean, they're just as snobbish. They look down just as much on those who don't have as much money as they have, whether they're Jewish or not. And once you got in that club, and you have to you have to have given money to charity, primarily to Israel and Jewish charities, but you've got to be very generous to charities. Yeah, you can't have been a slumlord or been in the garbage business. But once you get inside and you're one of those 300 families that are members, you're part of this exalted elite. And that's why Bernie Madoff could just pick these people off once he got inside the club, until about half the members of that club have money with him, or had money with him.
How difficult was it for him to get in?
Well, it's much harder to get in that club than it is to get in the Everglades or the Bath or Tennis, the two WASP clubs, or Donald Trump's club, Mar-a-Lago. To get into that, all you need is money. He doesn't care anything about your background at all. In the sense, it's not even a club.
What effect has this scandal had on the area?
Well, take the Palm Beach Country Club. Last Friday, I was with a team for French television. They rented a convertible and wanted me to take them around town. I drove the car around, and we went up to the Palm Beach Country Club. I'd been there before and had no problems, and we were going to just to go in the driveway. And as we went in the driveway, I didn't realize we were being tailed by an enormous SUV. And that SUV accelerated, and as we turned into that driveway, it turned in with us and screeching to a halt to prevent us to go any further. And I was scared because one of the top police officials here told me a couple of weeks ago that I better be very careful and have security when my book comes out, because there are people on this island who are not happy with it.
I don't think people understand what it's like there.
Well, the average American would have no idea what this is like. It's an island totally separate from the rest of America. It's 13 miles long and about a mile wide. The air smells different. Say you're coming down to Florida, you're driving down I-95 and you want to come here. We better know where to get here, because there's no signs telling you where Palm Beach is, because they don't want those signs there. That's how apart it is from the rest of America. And that's what's happened in the last few months with the stock market going down and people losing about half their money, and now Bernie Madoff, that it's not the place it was before. But they don't want to recognize that. And the Palm Beach Daily News, the daily newspaper, they've had a mandate that they're not going to talk about me in my book. Anything about me, the events that are scheduled for my book, they're not in the paper. Nothing, nothing, nothing. That's the way this island works.
What kind of reaction is your book getting over there?
Well, my book is selling out. I mean, this just today at the Palm Beach Bookstore, they said there was a line waiting to get it when the door opened. And she had me come again to sign books. I signed books yesterday, first day it was available, so it is really an explosion here, but the powers that be on both sides aren't that comfortable with. There's a club called the Bath and Tennis, which is the restricted WASP club, and I would go there. People would invite me there, and not anymore. The word is out is that I can't go there. My picture is at the front desk, and people are warned I'm never to go there again.
What is at the heart of the Palm Beach mentality?
Well, for 100 years, Palm Beach has been totally isolated from the rest of America, and the vicissitudes of the economy of history really have not affected this place. The Kennedys, of course, were famous for having a home here. And in the 30s, when JFK was going to Harvard for Easter and Christmas vacations, he would drive down and stay at these mansions along the way, friends' mansions, and then come here and spend his vacations. And he wasn't in his 30s, and he was after World War II. He said he had no idea what the Depression was. I mean, he'd lived, it was a great time to be wealthy if you didn't notice how other people were living. But that's different now, because psychologically it's affected this place in a way nothing has. The restaurants are half empty. There's a man I know who was worth $600 million. He lost $100 million, so the poor man is only worth $500 million. And he's taking people for dinner, and these people thought, well, he's going to take us to the best restaurant in Palm Beach. No, he went over to West Palm Beach and took them to a pizza parlor. I mean, strange. He's got $500 million, but that's just the mentality.
A lot of people are finding it hard to sympathize with these rich people being scammed out of their money, to be honest with you.
First of all, the WASPs, many of the WASPs on the island are just delighted. The Jewish population now is a majority, and basically has reached the point where it's about a majority on the island. And the old WASP families think, these people get this, they get what's coming to them. The reality is that there were a number of widows that on their husbands on the deathbed said to them, whatever you do, darling, give your money to Bernie Madoff. Give your money. He'll take care of it. Those women, they don't have anything. They may have to go live with their kids. There are people who are tragically hurt. Charities. One of the things about the Jewish community that the rest of us should learn is that they're immensely charitable people. That's why the charities have been hurt by this, that millions and millions of dollars that are given to charity, and that hurts all of us. I mean, in the place like Boston, where there were a lot of money given, I mean, the universities are going to suffer, the hospitals are going to suffer, the great public institutions are going to suffer because of the loss of the charities.
How did you get inside these inner circles?
Well, see, I purchased my place in Palm Beach in 1994, and I thought, oh, I'll stay here a couple of years, and I'll get inside and learn about these people and write my book. But it took all these years until I was really inside. And I was one of the few people who would go from the Jewish to the Christian side. I'd be at a lot of parties. I'd be the only Christian at a Jewish party, and then I'd go to the WASP party. And when I arrived in my building here, I was mistreated just terribly. I couldn't understand what it was. The president of the condominium association came and he into our apartment. He wouldn't sit down, and the other board members, they were so unpleasant. And I didn't learn afterwards. It's because they thought I was Jewish, and this then was an all-Christian building. It isn't anymore. I'm on the board, and we have this mix of people, and we get along just wonderfully. And that should be what the future of Palm Beach is and all America should be.
Are things turning that way now?
Well, I think that this tragedy of Madoff and the loss of this money is an immense opportunity. That this obsession with money, this greed, has consumed this place, and there are lessons to be learned. There's not a person on this island who doesn't have enough money to survive otherwise. Today, on Inauguration, which is a charity for the homeless that I work with, and we had a inauguration party for there were several hundred homeless people watching this ceremony, and that's a different world. And I've been sending around these cans for the Lord's Place and deposit, and the people in the charity said, oh, they're not going to take them to Palm Beach. Well, I've been bringing them over here and leaving them at all the restaurants and the bars, and people just grab them. Today I went into an ice cream store, Sprinkles, and I started giving them my little pitch about the homeless. I didn't even say a sentence before the woman took it, put it right at the cash register. I went into another restaurant, and they took it. So I think this can be a very positive experience out of this, not for those who have suffered and who have nothing left, but for most people here, they can live even better and more spiritually enhanced lives once this is over.
What lesson do you want people to learn from your book?
I want people, first of all, one thing I've learned as a writer is not to be jealous of anybody. In some way, America works by making you jealous. You look at the newspaper and think, gee, if I can only be at that party, or if I can only be at that place, or if I could have that house or that car, I'd be happy. Well, you know, years ago, I did a radio program in Chicago, and somebody called and was making $30,000 and said, if you had $50,000, you'd be happy. And somebody called in 5 minutes later making $50,000. That's not true. You need $100,000. And somebody called in $100,000. No, you need $200,000. Well, happiness is not based on how much money you have. It's based on your human qualities and how you treat each other. And that's what I'd like people to take away, to read that. And, you know, these people have these things, and there's no reason to be jealous of them. And it's wonderful in America that we can be rich. And there are people that have – most of the money here is new money. And I think that's great that you can start with nothing in America and make a fortune. But at the beginning of my book, I have a line from de Tocqueville. De Tocqueville says that – with the rapaciousness which Americans can make a fortune, they can do that. But the problem is that they cannot find happiness. And that's the great struggle in American life, that somehow we don't do happiness as well as we do hard work.
Lawrence Lamer, thanks for being on the Savage Nation. I'm Michael Savage. We'll be right back. Savage. Iran is a problem that cannot be ignored. Their pursuit of nuclear weapons, their threats to destroy Israel, their clear involvement in the training and sponsoring of radical terrorists is something that our new administration should not ignore or treat lightly. As much as we hear about 9/11 and Al-Qaeda, we rarely hear about Iran's connection to this terror group, as if it is being swept under the rug. Ken Timmerman joins us on the Savage Nation for an update on a recent report from the Treasury Department about their efforts to stop terror funding and track down fugitive al-Qaeda members who have taken up residence in Iran since they fled Afghanistan with Iranian government help after 9/11.
You know, Michael, this relationship between Iran and al-Qaeda has got to be one of the great untold stories of the war on terror. It's something I've been following for the past 7 years. Now we find that the Undersecretary of Treasury for Terrorism and Financial Intelligence, a man named Stuart Levy, has lifted the corner of this story from the U.S. government. Interestingly, it is the U.S. government, and in particular the CIA, that has been trying to keep this story quiet ever since 9/11, and I'll get into that in a little bit. But Stuart Levy on Friday put out a very unusual report from the Treasury Department that named four top al-Qaeda officials, including the son of Osama bin Laden, Saad, who are living in Iran and have been in Iran since just after 9/11. Now, this is a very important fact. It shows a direct material involvement and a relationship between the government of the Islamic Republic of Iran and al-Qaeda. Now, Stuart Levy, in this report issued on Friday, goes into a considerable amount of detail. He says, for example, that Saad bin Laden, and I'm going to read you some of this report that came out, that Saad bin Laden was, quote, part of a small group of al-Qaeda members that was involved in managing the terrorist organization from Iran. Let me repeat that. He was involved in running al-Qaeda from Iran ever since the September 11th attacks in 2001. This is a direct operational relationship between Iran and al-Qaeda, and it's something that I guarantee you, you won't be reading about very much in the New York Times. Iran's involvement with al-Qaeda is deep. Elsewhere in this report, you find out that these other members who were named by the Treasury Department were already serving as liaisons between al-Qaeda and Iranian government officials back in the mid-1990s. There's a guy named Mohammed Rabah al-Sayed al-Bayti, who was a senior member of the Egyptian Islamic Jihad and, of course, an al-Qaeda operative. This guy is a son-in-law of Ayman Zawahri, the number two of al-Qaeda, Osama bin Laden's top aide. And in the mid-1990s, quote, al-Bayti served on an al-Qaeda military committee and provided military training for al-Qaeda members, and get this, he was instructed by Ayman Zawahri right after September 11th to take al-Zawahri's family to Iran. And there, he traveled to Iran and, quote, he was subsequently responsible for the family. And in January 2003, while working from Iran, Bayti arranged housing on behalf of al-Qaeda for al-Qaeda members. Now, this is, again, another example of this material involvement between the government of Islamic Republic of Iran and al-Qaeda. Now, we've seen some of this relationship mentioned in the transcripts of the hearings in Guantanamo at Gitmo with some of the high-value detainees who've been going before these military tribunals, Michael. They've mentioned going through Iran, traveling through Iran, having Iranian government officials help them with their travel papers and documents and things like this. But this report from the Treasury Department really goes into much, much more detail. It's very specific. There's a guy named Mustafa Hamid, again, one of the four people designated last week by Undersecretary of Treasury Stuart Levy. He was a go-between al-Qaeda and Iran, and they said that in the late 1990s, and here I quote, Mustafa Hamid passed communications between Osama bin Laden and the government of Iran. When tensions were high between Iran and Afghanistan, Mustafa Hamid traveled multiple times from Kandahar in Afghanistan to Tehran as an intermediary for the Taliban. Now, this is incredibly significant because the tension between Iran and the Taliban regime in 1998 and 1999, when Iran placed several hundred thousand troops on the Afghan border about to invade, this has been used as a trump card argument by U.S. intelligence analysts who claim that Iran never cooperated with al-Qaeda or the Taliban because of religious differences. In fact, that is just false. When it came to killing Americans and killing Jews, they got along just fine. So we go back to this Treasury memo, and it says in late 2001, Mustafa Hamid was in Tehran, delivering messages from the Taliban to the government of Iran. He also negotiated on behalf of al-Qaeda in an attempt to relocate al-Qaeda families in Iran after the 9/11 attacks. Now, you may recall, Michael, that I wrote about this quite extensively in my 2005 book called Countdown to Crisis, The Coming Nuclear Showdown in Iran. And the story that I revealed there was of an Iranian defector named Zakhari who walked into the United States Embassy in Baku, Azerbaijan, months before 9/11, in July of 2001, in fact, giving them the exact date of the 9/11 attacks. He told them that that Iran was working with Arabs to fly airplanes into buildings in the United States on September 11th, 2001. The CIA listened to him. They gave him $500. They sent him on his way, and they didn't believe a word he said. So one of the reasons that the U.S. intelligence community, and especially the CIA, have been very, very reluctant, resistant in getting this story out is because they screwed it up. They screwed it up big time. They did not get that information out about Iran's close operational ties to al-Qaeda, and 3,000 Americans died as a result. This is Ken Timmerman in Washington. Thanks, Michael.
Thanks for keeping us informed, Ken. Here's what's on michaelsavage.com. Big story. Obama signs an order to shut Guantanamo prison. Wow. Isn't that cool? Isn't that humane? Isn't that liberal? Isn't that judicial? Isn't that wonderful? We have a college professor for president. Get ready for a real rocky ride. Caroline Kennedy withdrew. She was never qualified to be senator. She just had a name. Some would call it famous. Others would call it the name infamous. But it turns out today she was mired in tax, nanny, and marital problems. Wow. You mean she's a human being? Panel votes 18-5 to approve Geithner as Treasury Secretary, despite lingering doubts over irregularities in his tax records. Now, if you have irregularities in your tax records, that's too bad. But if he has them, hey, that's fine. Did you see what happened at the Bank of America? Former Merrill Lynch CEO John Thain resigned from B of A today following news that came out that his company had moved up its year-end bonuses before reporting losses. We would call that fraud. Most of us would go to jail for doing it, but not old John Thain. He's tied so deeply into the Treasury Department. Well, you might say they're tied at the hip, but I'd say they're tied at the hipsters. Finally, on michaelsavage.com, don't miss this story. Former French President Jacques Chirac was rushed to a hospital after his clinically depressed poodle mauled him. Wow. Thank you, poodle. With God's will and your listenership, I shall return.
Savage.